Welcome. We hope that you'll come back and be with us at every opportunity that you have. The scripture reading was from the book of Joshua, chapter 7, or Judges rather, chapter 7, verses 19 through 23. I want you to notice in verse 21 the phrase that says, "They stood every man in his place." They stood every man in his place. That makes a good sermon when you think about it. I want us to think about the need for people today to find, get in, stand in, and stay in their place. That's sometimes difficult for individuals to do. Everything that I say begins with preacher first, and then on around the room. And so if you say at the back of the door, "You've stepped on my toes, maybe I stepped on my own in preparing this material." But when we study the Bible, we need to think about our place. We need to think about what it is that God would have us to be doing. As here in the context of this, the children of Israel getting ready to go up against the Amalekites, the Midianites, and God delivered them into their hands. The Amalekites went fleeing, the Midianites did. But that phrase sticks out to me, that every man stood in his place. And so I want to take that phrase and make an application of it in our sermon this morning. Again, there's a need for us to realize our place, to get in it, stand in it, and stay in it. And I hope that we'll each appreciate that fundamental truth. The first one that I want you to think about is that there is a need today for husbands to know their place, to get in it, stand in it, and stay in it.
Amen.
Think that's difficult to do? You know, a lot of times individuals get married and they don't even know what it is that a husband ought to be doing. But the Bible gives us the answer. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, if you'll turn there with me, the book of Ephesians chapter 5, begin with verse 25. Ephesians chapter 5, and begin with me, if you will, in verse 25, as we look at what Paul was writing to these Christians at Ephesus. Notice he says, "Husbands, love your wives." There's not a thing we're going to talk about, by the way, this morning that you've not heard before. If you attend here, you've heard it. "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but as that it should be holy and without blemish." Notice verse 28. "So ought men to love their wives also as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. No man ever yet hated his own flesh, but he nourisheth it and cherisheth, even as the Lord the church." And then in verse 31, a statement that is found in the beginning, when God created man and woman, "For this reason shall man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife." If you're here this morning, you're married, you need to realize that our place is to love our wives as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. If you're contemplating marriage, if you're not married and you're thinking about being married, you need to know that your place is to love your wife as Christ loved the church. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 1, or chapter 3 rather, and in verse 7, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with him," talking about dwell with your wives, "according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." Not only is our place to love our wife, but to give honor unto her. Husbands, how are we doing with that? Do we love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it? Do we give to her honor, or do we say she doesn't deserve it? Let her earn it first. It's not what the text says. The text says, "Give unto her honor as unto the weaker vessel," he says in Colossians chapter 3 and in verse 19. These epistles dealing with Christian living. Colossians chapter 3 and in verse 19. "Husbands, love your wives." And watch the last part of this. "And be not bitter against them." Someone says, "Preacher, that's a hard pill to swallow." I didn't say it was easy. The Lord didn't say it was easy either. But necessary nonetheless. Don't be bitter against them. Love your wife. Cherish your wife. Honor your wife. Don't be bitter. And so this morning, if you're here and you're a husband, I hope that you have found your place as a husband. That you'll get in your place, stand in your place, and stay in your place relative to your wife. And not only that, we read in these passages the instruction given to wives. All these are fundamental things that we need to be teaching our young people. Once they grow up, they get married, and they say, I didn't realize this is what it was all about. You need to know beforehand so that you can choose and make wisely. Ephesians chapter 5, again, we go back to that text. As we read what Paul stated relative to the husband. Notice what he says about the wives when you read this passage. Verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now, preacher, I'm just not with you when it comes to that submitting part. That's what the Lord said about it. That's what God said about it. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He's the Savior of the body. Therefore, in light of that, in other words, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in those things that are convenient. Is that what it says? If you're reading the passage, you know better. In everything, He says. Wives, how are you doing relative to standing in your place? You loving your husband, submitting to him in all things, that's what the book says. Well, that's not always easy to do. Well, it may not always be easy to do. But God said to do it, right? And by the way, I hope we'll have the disposition of heart and mind that says I'll go with God. I'll do what God would have me to do. Again, Colossians chapter 3. And in verse 18, you've already read these passages, right? You've studied them. You know what they're about. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Why should a wife do that? It's fit in the Lord. He said so. And it's what you ought to be doing. Come back with me to the book of 1 Peter chapter 3. Begin with verse 1. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. Here's another reason why that is so important. That if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation. Some versions may render that as conduct. By the conversation or the conduct of the wife. Sometimes Christians are not married to Christians. And this passage is putting across the truth that the way you conduct your life is important. Your spouse may not study the Bible. They may not read the Bible. But they know how you live your life. And that's what he's talking about. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold and of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a quiet and meek spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves being in subjection unto their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. A lady once jokingly remarked, I'm not Sarah and he's not Abraham. But I ask you, do you reverence your husband the way that Sarah did hers? Do you obey him in all things, realizing that he is the head of the home? In Titus chapter 2, some more instruction is given. And so, a lot of you ladies are married. Younger ladies are contemplating marriage when the time comes, and you need to know this valuable information. Titus chapter 2, rather. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, Paul writes to Titus, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in good behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women how to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober minded. And so as you make your study about standing in your place, wives, how are you doing along those lines? In submitting to your husband, obeying him in all things. And so I suggest to you today, if ever before, that there's a need today for wives to find, to get in, to stand in, and to stay in their place as wives. You agree with that? But also when it comes to that of fathers, there may be those that are married, but they're not a father. But the Bible gives us instruction regarding the father. And as I was thinking about this material, so many times we just kind of lump all of these responsibilities together. And we say, well, there it is. And that's fine. That's what the Bible says. Well, I'd present what the Bible says. But really, there's three areas in which the work and the responsibility and the duty of a father can be divided into. And that is, first of all, teaching. In Ephesians chapter 6, he's talking about children. We'll get to in just a moment. There's a lot of children in the room today, and so I hope that your ears will perk up and that you'll give attention to this. But in Ephesians chapter 6, he talks about the responsibility of fathers. And your fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Bring them up in a way that God would have them to be brought up. Teach them the right way. We need to realize that our children are going to be taught. The question is, what are they going to be taught? By whom are they going to be taught it? They're going to learn. Their minds are going to soak up information along the way based on what they hear, what they're exposed to, what they see. And we need to do everything that we can to lay a good foundation that when the time comes and they leave the home, that they'll know enough to make it, to withstand the wiles of the devil, the fiery darts of the wicked one, and be able to obey the gospel and serve God when they leave our home. Time goes by swiftly. Just a little window of opportunity that we have. Colossians chapter 3 and in verse 21. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Don't do things to just simply anger them, but bring them up in the way that they ought to go. In Deuteronomy 6 and verse 7, that you're familiar with, teach them. You list the opportunities when you're going in the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. Diligently teach these things unto your children. But then there is also the responsibility to care for and to provide for. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. If any man provide not for who? For they of his own house. For his own. He's worse than an infidel, non-believer, and has denied the faith. Remember that passage? I've got a responsibility to make sure that my children are clothed, fed, and have a place to get out of the weather. Now, they may not have as much as other people's children do, but I'm not required to keep up with the Joneses. And you're not either, by the way. It's my responsibility to take care of them. But not only that, not only to provide for them, but to give correction, discipline that so many children are lacking from in our world today. Not every child gets it. It seems like I can say no 1,000 times sometimes before the point is gone. But do I just say, well, you know, I'm not going to say no anymore? No, you just keep on saying no. You keep on doing it. Some children get it pretty quick. Some children not as quickly. Some children, you can put in time out that solves it, or you take a privilege that they have, a video game, or you take something that they like, and that does the trick. Some children that don't work with, and you might have to spank them along the way. But my responsibility is to rear them up in the right way and to administer that discipline that's fitting for the situation. And that's your responsibility as well. When you look at Proverbs, a book that gives us so much instruction relative to the things that we're talking about this morning. Come with me to the book of Proverbs chapter 19. A lot of others that you could add to this list. Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his cry. You go to discipline your children that began to cry. You going to stop? Because it breaks your heart. I agree with you. It breaks your heart. But you had the best in mind for them. You know how you want things to turn out. 10, 15 years down the road. You know how it is that they need to be when the time comes, that they leave your home. So don't spare for their cry. When it goes time that you're going to spank them, and they cry because they know what's coming, don't give in. In the book of Proverbs 22 and then verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Need to teach and to train. That involves repetition, by the way. You can impart knowledge and they can know what to do, but you need to train them, which entails repetition over and over and over and over. I've had several dogs in the past, and I wanted those dogs to do particular things. Now, I could say, sit down. And they might know what sit means after a while. You know how many treats it took to get that dog to sit down? It took a lot of training. Or to go over to that door and take its paw or its nose and ring a bell indicating it wants to go outside. It takes a lot of training. With our children, it takes a lot of imparting knowledge and training repetition with our children. Proverbs 29:15. Proverbs 29 and in verse 15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Parents, do you know what your children are doing behind closed doors? May not have any worry at all, but my suggestion is, if you don't know, find out. Don't leave your children to themselves. That's what the verse says. All social services will be all over us if we try to discipline our children. Social workers won't tell us to do that. Well, I'll tell you that you ought to do that if that needs to be done. I'm not talking about beating a child. I'm not talking about hitting in critical areas of the body. But I'm talking about administering the right type of correction and discipline for them to get the point and know the point. Folks, if you have not found your place as a father, you need to find it, get in it, stand in it, and stay in it. Mothers also, Proverbs 31. If you'll go to that passage, Proverbs chapter 31. I suggest you read verses 10 through 31. If you want to find out what the Bible says about a virtuous woman, that her price is far above rubies, what she'll do for her husband, what she'll do for her children as she rises at night and gives meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. Verse 15. The clothes that she'll make for them. Her disposition, her character, her work. By the way, when you're going out to find a wife, you might want to put her to the Proverbs 31 test and see how she feels about these things mentioned in this passage. Titus chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, as we read a moment ago, that the older ones will teach the younger ones to be keepers at home, to love their husbands and their children. And so I suggest to you, as with the fathers and with the wives and the husbands, there's a need today for mothers to find, to get in, stand in, and stay in their place. Are we on the same page with that? We need to be. And not only that, when it comes to children, There's children present among us this morning. For that we are grateful for. It's been once stated that the children are the future of any congregation. I agree with that because the older ones are going to die. We're all going to die. Ecclesiastes 9:11 or 9:5. For the living know that they shall die. As goes the home, so goes the nation, once someone said. I suggest to you, as goes the home and the family, so goes the congregation, because strong families make strong congregations. And we're blessed with children. In Proverbs chapter 1, and in verse 8, as well as Proverbs 6 and in verse 20. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Proverbs 1:8. Children, do you listen to your parents, or do you forsake it? Do you let it go in one ear and out the other? Many of you set a good example relative to listening to your parents. Many of you are doing such a great job with your children. That's evident by those that participate, those that are well-mannered that we have. And you need to be admonished to keep that up and be commended for your work, because I know that it's not easy. All those present whose children have grown and left the home, flew the coop, realize that it's not easy to do that. Exodus 20 verse 12. One of the commandments in the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments. Honor thy father and thy mother. Evidently it was pretty important with God back then. And it's important with God today. Ephesians chapter 6. Begin with verse 1. Are you listening, children? Listen to what the good book says. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Why? For this is right. The next time that you want to ask, why do I have to do what mom and dad says, you need this verse. Because it's the right thing to do. And you're interested in doing what's right, aren't you? Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Children, are you in your place? Have you found it? Standing in it? Staying in it? You might say, you know what, I could do better. In fact, you might say, relative to any of these, I could do better. Then do better. When you leave here, purpose to do better. Someone's once stated, when tomorrow comes, it is a day fresh with no mistakes in it. Purpose to get up tomorrow and do better. But not only that, when we think about the home, all of those are important. When it comes to the church, I want to suggest to you that preachers today need to find their place and need to get in it, stand in it, and stay in it. And I'll tell you that as a preacher. I need to know my place and stay in my place. You agree with that?
Yes.
Thank you. You need to know what the place of the preacher is. I need to know what the place of a preacher is in 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus. He talks about the place of a preacher. Talks about the work of a preacher. Can be seen in the following areas. I listed nine here. There's a list that someone's compiled of at least 50 things or more that the preacher is admonished to do. We don't have time to go through 50 of them. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, Paul charged Timothy to charge some that they teach no other doctrine. 1 Timothy 3:15, behave thyself. By the way, if you miss some of these, there's some copies of the outlines on the back podium. Or you can get up with me either way. 1 Timothy 4:6 and 2 Timothy 2:14, remind the brethren. Now, we've heard it before, you'll hear it again. That is, if I found my place and I'm standing in it, because I'm charged to remind you. Give attendance to some things. 1 Timothy 4 and then verse 13, list those things. Taking heed to thyself, 1 Timothy 4:16. Don't just hold them to it. Don't preach it to them and remind them about it, but hold yourself accountable to it. Paul talked about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He said that he had preached those things that, to others, but that he practiced and he kept under his body, brought it in subjection, lest when he had preached to others, him himself would be a castaway. Keep thyself pure, 1 Timothy 5:22. Fight the good fight of faith, 1 Timothy 6:12. Commit the truth to faithful men, 2 Timothy 2:2. And 2 Timothy 4:2. Preach the word. That's the work of a preacher. And there's other things you could add to that. I need to ask myself, have I found my place as a preacher? Am I standing in it? Am I staying in it? If not, I better do something about it. I work with you in this work. We work together. We're laborers together. I work with you for God. And I'll stand before the Lord on the judgment day and give an account for the work that I do. Not only that, remember, I did a series of lessons not long ago on the work of the preacher, the evangelist, the elders, the deacons, the members. We had a series of lessons on all that. But elders and deacons need to find, stay in, stand in their place. Elders are appointed to be appointed in every church. Until that happens, we're lacking or wanting, the King James Version says. Someone says, well, how do you get that? Because that's what Paul wrote to Titus and stated to him in Titus chapter 1. For this cause, verse 5, for this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting or lacking, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. In every church, Acts 14:23, he talks about. So someone says, well, if we don't have men qualified, well, we keep on doing the best we can under those circumstances, but not being satisfied until men have equipped themselves and qualified themselves that they can be appointed as such. Yes, congregations existed for a time in the New Testament in the absence of elders and deacons, as we see from Acts chapter 14. Elders' work is that of being three areas. Overseers. Acts 20:28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves to the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which is purchased with His own blood. Soul watchers. They watch for your soul, Hebrews 13:17. And secondly, flock feeders. Acts 20:28 talks about. Feed the flock which is among you, Paul, Peter would talk about in 1 Peter chapter 5 and in verse 2. Then in 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 3, they're to be example setters. Their manner of life, their conduct, their disposition, their attitude, their care, and so forth and so on. And so I suggest to you that there's a need for elders to find, to get in, stay in, stand in their place. The same could be stated for deacons. Deacon, by the way, by the very nature of the word, means to serve, to be an attendant, to serve under the oversight of the elders. They too need to find their place, get in, stand in, stay in. These men are to meet those qualifications, by the way, of 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus chapter 1. We on the same page with that? One more. As we think about every man stood in his place. And that, I want to come from 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And notice what the Bible says in verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also, grandparents need to know their place when it comes to rearing the grandchildren and their place. Set a good example More and more today, I saw this with, when I worked with families and with children. And it's even more so these 4 years later. That more and more grandparents are rearing their children. Now, sometimes that's unavoidable. Sometimes that is just simply unavoidable. We need to be thankful for grandparents who will step up to the plate when they've got their children reared and rear their grandchildren. Which I'm persuaded, he says, that is in you. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that dwelt first in thy grandmother and in thy mother. Grandparents, how are we doing? Grandmothers and grandfathers. In setting a good example for our children, or our grandchildren, children too, but relative to this point, grandchildren. Or do we take up for them? All under the notion of, well, it's my job as a grandparent to spoil them. Now, we jokingly say that, don't we? We get to spoil them and we get to send them back home at the end of the day. And that's fine to shower them and to love them and to play with them and to enjoy them. But if by that we mean, leave the rules at home, you can do anything you want to at grandma and grandpa's place, we need to revisit that notion. Because when we have that idea, we are absolutely undermining and unraveling and undoing everything that mom and dad are striving to do. Provided mom and dad are trying to do what they ought to do. When you know, grandparents, that the grandchildren are not allowed to do ABC, don't let them do it at home. Well, you know that there's boundaries, clearly, that they're going to have to go back to. Don't undermine what mom and dad... You know why? Because that's not your place to do that. Your place is to set a good example and help raise them along those lines. That they can see the example, that they can see what it means to be a Christian, first and foremost. And to do what's right. Mom and Dad won't let us do that. Can we do it here? No, you can't do that here either. That always easily done. You'll have to answer that. I'm not a grandparent. But I can imagine how the temptation would be to let them do what they would like to do. Titus 2, verses 3 through 5, that we've read two times. Read and then alluded to a second time, and now a third time. That the older one or the aged one are to teach the younger ones. How are the older ones doing along those lines? You got younger women here. Older women, are you teaching them some things about the family? Older men, are you teaching the younger men how to be a man and what that means? Hollywood's definition of what it means to be a lady and what it means to be a man, a gentleman, is far drastically different than what you find in the Bible. I'll present that challenge to you in your study of the Old Testament. Find an example of a man who was given at least three or four specific things as he was being instructed on how to be a man. We may reserve that for a future sermon. There's a need today, again, I admonish you, for people today.